Well, we're going to go ahead and finish up our, I think it's been 10 weeks on the culture of who we are at Living Hope Family Church, where we talk about who we are, what we believe, what we're about. And this last 3 weeks, including this week, has been kind of about our mission statement as a church. And our mission statement is to evangelize the lost, evangelize, equip the saints, equip, and then empower the saints to step out into the ministry to which God has called them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the final piece of our culture is all about empowering people to serve and make an impact in the kingdom of God. And this idea ranges from what we might think of as the smallest, least honorable thing, like grounds work or janitorial work. You know, most people are say, hey, do you want to serve in the kingdom of God? We're like, yeah. We're like, okay, we need the toilets cleaned. Most people aren't like, man, that's exactly what I was thinking about. I was hoping you would ask, you would say that I could use a plunger. But the reality is that every part of the church, every ministry in the church serves a purpose. So the things that we might in our heads consider the least honorable, all the way up to the things that we may consider the of the greatest honor, and that's, you know, ordaining pastors or sending out missionaries. But the reality is the church needs all types. And that is why the Jesus said in the kingdom of God, he who is last will be first, and he who is first will be last. The least honorable among us will be honored the most. But the truth is that the church needs all kinds of people to serve. We have all kinds of things that need to be done. Not only do we need skilled musicians, we need people that can teach our children. We need people who are graphic artists. We just had one of our sound guys step down, so now we need another sound technician. And right now I'm trying to encourage Eddie to do it. So everybody, tell Eddie how awesome he'd be at it after church, and we look forward to seeing him there. We need people that are technical in nature, you know, because how many know that as a church we have websites and social media, and even running the sound is very technical, all that kind of stuff. We need marketing people. We need missionaries. And this includes all kinds of different works. You know, when we think of missionaries, it's not always just going out and being limited to preaching the gospel, but you can go out and dig wells. You can go out as a medical missionary and do medical work for people that might need it. There's all kinds of opportunities and options. And there are so many ways to serve the Lord, and our goal as a church is to ensure people that first, like we talked about last week, that they would be equipped, and then we want to empower them to go out and do what God has called them to do. We want to make sure that they're prepared, and then we want to support them the entire way. And here's the thing, if you have a call of God on your life, who has a call of God on their life? Man, I'm proud. Everybody raised their hand. You all do. Whether you want it or not, you have one on your life. God has got a plan and purpose for your life. So as a church, you know, our responsibility and role as a church is to equip you and to empower you to operate in that mission, that divine mission, that calling that God has placed on your life. That is our goal. Many people think that you go to church to be so that the church can do something for you. Really, the church isn't here to entertain you. It's not here to create programs for you. It's not here. The only thing we're here for is to equip you so that you can go out and do the work. Amen? And we want to empower you to do that, because the truth is, serving in the kingdom of God is some of the most fulfilling work that you can ever do in your entire life. Amen? Amen. So let's get started. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20 says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." I mean, you know, you guys don't get to say, "Oh, it's not me, it's not for me." Just because you say it's not you, it doesn't make you any less part of the body, amen? It doesn't make you have any less of a call. Verse 17 continues, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But that is as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You'll probably remember a few months ago, we went quite in depth to this idea of being involved and being a part of the body. And we talked about how the body is made up of many different roles, right? He points out some obvious ones, the eyes, the ears, and we all can't be the same thing, but we all have a part or a role to play. And every part of our human body is important. If you're missing a part of your body, you notice it. Matter of fact, even some of the things that we thought were worthless, you know, the incredibly scientific minds say, oh, the appendix, it's not needed. That's just left over from evolution. Turns out your body still uses that. You still need it. You can get by without it, but it's better that you have it. Amen. And the church body is the same way. We need every part of the body. Now, if a part of the body is missing, then other parts have to step up and take over. But that's not the ideal situation. We all have a role and a job to do in the body. And as I mentioned in the beginning, there are many roles that we might see as top shelf roles. You know, the people that are out front. But the truth is that all are important and all are needed. And every part of the body comes together and works together in a symbiotic fashion. And the truth is, we need one another. Amen? And the truth is that as a servant, which I can tell you right now that your primary calling, your ultimate calling is to be a servant, that might mean you have to operate in many different positions or roles throughout your walk as a Christian, depending on where it's needed. Amen? And sometimes someone is doing the work that we should be doing instead of their own work. Acts 6:1-4 says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve as tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Sometimes somebody else ends up doing something that you should be doing, and then they're not able to do what God wanted them to do. In this particular case, this is the apostle saying, listen, guys, it's not appropriate for us to take care of these widows, because if we're doing that, then we can't be doing what God called us to do. So they appointed these men to go ahead and take over that so the apostles could focus on what God wanted them to focus on. Now, imagine what would have happened if they would have all said no, if they couldn't find anybody to do the work. Now, I think we know enough about these men to know that they would have stepped in and did the work. They wouldn't have just let these widows go untaken care of. But it would have hindered what they were supposed to be doing. You know, one of the things that I'm part of this spiritual leadership training course that I'm going through right now, Dr. Leon Van Rooyen, he says that, you know, we're going to win the world with a Bible in one hand and a toilet plunger in the other. You know, sometimes you got to do stuff that you got to do. But the truth is if everybody was stepping in and doing what they were supposed to be doing, everything would run much smoother. And, you know, it's funny. Maybe why it happened was just God made sure I had this illustration and I could really feel what it looks like. But as I said earlier, one of our sound guys ended up stepping down and is not part of the church anymore. And it would normally be his Sunday schedule today. Normally, that's not an issue because Michelle if you know her, she's an awesome woman, and she's very talented and can do all kinds of stuff. So when I need someone to fill in back there, she can jump in and run the soundboard. When we need someone in children's church, she can jump back and do children's church. When we, you know, I was telling some people this morning, it's almost too easy to take for granted all the things that she takes care of and directs on a Sunday morning, because when she's not here, then my mind is going a million miles a minute because I got to do what I need to do, but also I need to make sure that the rest of the stuff is taken care of. And it turns out we had this massive snowball this morning because we also have Eddie and Norma who aren't here today. If you don't know, they had a grandbaby, so they went to go visit the new grandbaby, so that's why they're not here today. So we're not I'm not admonishing anybody for not being here, but you do notice it when people aren't here. So Blake and Mireya would normally do the youth. And I don't know if you noticed, but we had the youth go back with the children today in the children's church because normally Blake and Mireya would do the youth this week. And then if we had the sound guy back there, Michelle could fill in for the children's church. But now we needed Michelle for the sound. But then Michelle got called in for work this morning. So she got called into the hospital. So she's not here either. So now we're running around trying to, how are we going to cover all this stuff? Well, I don't have an extra children's church worker. We don't have Eddie and Norma here, which would normally, they take turns with Blake and Mireya to do the youth, so they can't take the youth, so Blake and Mireya can't take the children's church. And all of a sudden, we're like, what are we going to do? All this to say is that when somebody's not here, when somebody's not stepping into the role that God called them to do, you feel it. And like I said, I'm not admonishing anybody this morning. Sometimes things happen, right? Everybody that's not here has got a legitimate reason for not being here. They're not shirking on their duties. Sometimes things come up. But you feel the strain of it when people aren't here. Now, the good news is it's just one Sunday we'll feel the strain because they'll all be back. But what about the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing permanently? What about the roles? Because then it's always like that, trying to fill those holes. You know, so we have those areas that could be filled in. You know, we could probably use a couple more sound guys. We could probably use a couple more children's teachers that we can always have in the rotation or on standby. We could use people that can help out in these different areas. And when people are missing, we notice it. You notice it in the body. Just like if you looked at somebody and they had ears for eyes and a nose for their mouth, you'd notice that something was wrong. When we have things not filled properly in the church, it's the same thing. You feel the tension, you feel the strain. In the body, if everyone refused to serve, unless they could be a singer on the worship team, who would teach our children? Who would do the preaching? Who would do the evangelizing? Who would get the chairs ready? Who would act as ushers and greeters? Who would clean? Who would do the website? Who would do the graphic design work that needs to be done? Who would do the accounting? Who would do all the other administration? There's so much stuff that has to be done in the body of Christ. And even though we are many individual members, we are one body and we need each other. We need all those parts functioning. We don't want every day to feel like today. Amen? And the truth is, each and every one of you have an important role to play. You know, and sometimes we think that if we're not here, we're not missed, or it's not important. But even just coming and being a part of the church in the congregation, you don't realize it plays a very important role. Because what about if somebody new comes and they walk in and go, oh man, nobody comes to this church. Why would I want to come to this church? You know, so even just being a part of the congregation and filling it out, like, makes a difference. It's important that we're all part of the body doing our things. We all have an important role to play. And our goal as a church is to equip you all to fulfill those roles. We want to make sure that you have been equipped, but then empowered to step out and do it. Because how many know that we can train you all day long, but if we never actually let you use your training, what's the point? But we want to get people equipped and ready to go and then send them out. In 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 27, we have Paul continuing on. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care. Oh, I forgot to move this forward, didn't I? There There we go. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. How many of you guys remember your first job? I remember my first job. I was a dishwasher at a JB's. Some of you guys might remember JB's restaurants. You know, I don't even know if they're around anymore. It was kind of like a Denny's or a, you know, it was a little Village Inn, something like that. So my first job was at this JB's, and I got in as a dishwasher. And how many know that makes a good first job? Because it doesn't require any particular skill or experience, you know. They're more than happy to pay you minimum wage to work in the dish pit, as we called it. But what I found interesting is that even though this was considered the lowest position, this was considered the position that nobody wanted to do, everybody hated it, it was a position that could shut the entire restaurant down. Nobody could say, because you're the dishwasher, we have no need of you, right? Just like I said, just because you're the hand, we have no need of you. Because how many know if the dishwasher stops washing dishes, how would the people have plates to have their food put on? How would the cooks cook? So it turns out that this lowest position, the lowliest of the low in a restaurant, is actually just as important as the well-being for the well-being of the restaurant as the manager is. Matter of fact, it could probably go the other way. How many of the manager didn't show up? The restaurant could still run. The dishwasher doesn't show up, you feel it. In March of 1981, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., and he ended up being hospitalized for several weeks. Some of you guys may remember that. I was 1 year old. I don't remember it, but I read about it. But how many of you know that when that happened, he was hospitalized, couldn't really do much work? How many know the country kept trucking right along with no issues? No one really even noticed, except for it was on the news. Now imagine if the garbage collectors went on strike. The number one position in the entire country can disappear for a while, and it just doesn't really matter. But the lowest position, if they disappear, we would all notice. Amen? So then you start to wonder what actually is more important, the garbage collector or the president? In the church, what's more important, the people that keep the place clean and the toilets clean, or the pastor? The truth is, if the bathrooms were awful, people would walk in and walk out. You can get anybody up here to preach. So the reality is that every part of the body relies on one another. We all need one another. We need all of these positions filled because we require on one another. I mean, we were thinking about this morning what we were going to do, and because of some of the stuff that happened, Mireya wasn't actually able to be up here to sing with us because being prepared in case we needed children's church workers or someone to watch the baby, you know. So it actually, not having those positions caused us to have our worship team be different. You know, we need one another. And could you imagine this morning if I would have said, you know what, we're just going to have to go out without children's workers this morning? It would be a lot louder in here this morning, I can tell you right now. Nobody would be listening to me because the babies are way cuter than I am. They'd be making noise. We would have restless children out here, and we'd be distracted, and they would be bored. What if I said we don't need a worship team? Worship would be a lot more awkward. And you would definitely not want it if I determined that we didn't need anything cleaned. I don't imagine we'd make it more than a Sunday or two before the garbage starts stinking and the toilets get gross and then nobody would want to be here. So all these parts are important. And also remember, you know, if you get asked to serve in an area that isn't ideal, Remember that Paul says here that, you know, we give greater honor to the parts that lack it naturally, right? I have to say that I was so blessed. It was the last men's meeting. Eddie and Norma were out of town there, and Eddie and Norma, if you don't know, make sure you guys give them a big hug and a thank you. But they're the ones that clean the church every week. They take care of that. But they were out of town for a few weeks, and we had to do it. So right after the men's meeting, I asked all the men and said, listen, guys, we don't have nobody to clean the church. We need to do it. And I was so blessed because not a single person said, no, I'm not doing that. Everyone just stepped up and took care of it, from vacuuming floors to cleaning the toilets to taking out trash. It didn't matter. They just took care of it. So I'm grateful that when they were asked to serve in a position that may not be thought of as honorable, they were willing to do it. And I think that's the attitude. That's the servant heart, the servant attitude that all of us should have. Amen. And the truth is, as a body, when one of us has success, the entire body has success. Amen. And when one of us suffer, we suffer together. When I stub my toe, the rest of my body knows about it. Amen. So because of that, we can actually all joyously work together in whatever area that God has called us to, knowing that regardless of the position, if we're obedient and we work with a servant's heart, that all of us are going to be successful alongside one another. Amen? My success up here at preaching is your success as well, as the kingdom of God grows and we operate side by side. Amen? But in order to fulfill the call that God has on our life, we have to take it seriously. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, and as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So the first part of fulfilling your ministry is being sober-minded. That means take it seriously. That means don't get distracted. That means don't let your mind wander. That means don't let your mind get distorted, but instead recognize you have a calling and stay focused on it. And how many know that sometimes that's not going to be easy? Serving God has been one of the most fulfilling and rewarding things that I've ever done. It has not been the easiest thing I've ever done. It has brought me the most joy, but it always hasn't made me the happiest. I mean, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy comes from the Lord. Happiness comes from your circumstances. Sometimes you might even question what God is asking you to do. Like, God, why are you having me do this? Because it seems like it's not going the way you expected it to go. And I always think back when I look at this, you know, if you've been around for a while, you know, I've said it, you've observed it. I am not naturally an evangelist. That is not my gifting. That is not my calling. But sometimes we have to do things that aren't our calling. I look at this and I imagine that Timothy wasn't an evangelist either. That's why Paul had to say, listen, always be sober-minded, don't get distracted, endure some suffering, and then do the work of an evangelist. Sometimes we have to do things that we're not called to do because they need to get done. And evangelism is one of those for all of us. All of us are called to do the work of an evangelist, even if you are not called to sit in the office of an evangelist. Amen? Because that is part of all of our role. And in doing so, when we do these things, stay sober-minded, endure suffering, work of an evangelist, we fulfill our ministry. That's all required to fulfill our ministry. It was the final call that he gave him. Be sober-minded. Endure some suffering. How many know that's not the kind of thing that you want to hear? Endure some suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and then fulfill your ministry. Now, these instructions are not just there for Timothy. How many of you know that? They're there for us as well. So Paul had gone through the steps with Timothy that we have tasked ourselves to go through with every person that's a part of this local body, right? The whole evangelism, equipping, and empowering. Timothy Paul refers to Timothy as one of his sons in the faith. So Paul was his father in the faith, which means that he probably led him to the Lord. So Paul is the one that led Timothy to the Lord. Then he begins to equip him and disciple him and work alongside him. Then he eventually sends him out to pastor a church. He equipped him and sent him out to, as we talked about today, empowering him to fulfill his calling. And he says, listen, Timothy, it's going to take work. You're going to have to endure some stuff. You're going to have to keep a clear head on your shoulders and stay focused. Make sure you're out there evangelizing on top of all of it, and then fulfill your ministry. It might even hurt a little bit, but it means doing things that maybe we don't feel called to do. But finally, it means stepping out in faith into what God has called you to do. You have to fulfill your ministry. This isn't something that is optional for us as Christians. It's what we're commanded to do. And as a church, we want to be there to help prepare you for it and then walk with you as you step out into it. The reality is there are those that we're going to equip and we're going to empower, but at some point, you're going to have to step out of the boat. Amen. How many know that we all are amazed at Peter's faith when he walked on water? But if he never would have stepped out on the boat, none of us would remember the story. And the first step in doing that, part of the equipping, is stepping out into another man's field, as it were. Luke 16:12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another, who will give you that which is your own? The first step in fulfilling your ministry is to serve in somebody else's, to support them. When I first learned of the call of God on my life to be a pastor, well, the first thing that happened is I argued with God for a couple years about it because I didn't want to do it. And then I finally surrendered to God and said, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do. And I remember that night lying in my bed, I made that decision and this incredible sense of peace came over me. So I told Michelle, and then she continued to argue with God for another year before we got going. But how many of you know that when I got called, the first thing that I did wasn't to go out and open the doors in my own church? I served under my pastor, being equipped and trained for years before we stepped out to open up our own church. And then finally, after being faithful in his ministry, doing anything I needed to do, whether it was going on mission trips, whether it was if you've ever been to the Tucson church and you go in the bathrooms and you see all the wonderful tile, me and Joseph put a lot of that tile up on the wall. You were there doing the tile work in there, weren't you? Oh, I thought you did some work when we built the new building. Oh. All right, never mind. Joseph didn't do anything, but I put some tile. We were in there on our hands and knees, laying down mud, putting on tile. We were doing all the sound. I mean, we did all the work to build that place up. So painting, cleaning bathrooms, doing construction, leading Bible studies, leading life groups. I was on the worship team. I just served in every capacity that I could because I wanted to be prepared and equipped to step out into my own ministry. And one of the things I want to encourage you is the reality is we reap what we sow. If God has a ministry for you and you're not willing to serve in another's, you're going to find that people aren't going to be willing to serve in yours either with you. But after being faithful in his ministry for many years, I was finally released and empowered to step out into my own. And that's when we opened up the church in my house one Easter Sunday, 13 years ago. Now, one thing I'd recommend too is don't tell God what you won't do. You'll find that you'll often doing the very things that you told God you would. I told God once I would never be a pastor. I remember it. Clear as day, I was a teenager in high school, going to my friend's church. My best friend, his dad was the pastor. And I remember saying, you know what? I really appreciate what your dad's doing, but I could never do that. God's like, oh, really? And then when we were getting ready to plant, Michelle and I, like, We didn't want to do a home church. Matter of fact, we were like, we would never do a home church. We wouldn't even attend a home church, let alone go to let alone start a home church. We think they're weird and creepy. And God's like, oh, really? So I started to get clever. Well, I'm never going to pastor a mega church in Hawaii. I'm just not going to do it. But it turns out God's smarter than I am, so I don't think that works. But, yeah, after serving for a long time, being prepped and equipped, I was finally empowered to be sent out on my own. And sometimes this means operating in your calling, and sometimes it just means serving wherever there's a need. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, 1-5 says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Paul tells Timothy to not only fulfill his ministry, but he also begins to tell him to train other men to do likewise. How many know as Christians we're called to reproduce? Not only in the area where you serve are you supposed to serve, but you're supposed to start training others to do the same thing. As a pastor, I need to be training up men who can preach and teach and be ready to be sent out and pastor churches and be evangelists, you know, and all those things. If you are skilled in something technical, you should be training others to do the same thing. As worship team members, we should be training other worship team members. We're called to reproduce. So Paul tells Timothy, listen, fulfill your ministry, but also instruct and train faithful men to do likewise. And this teaching and reproducing, all that is discipleship. That's what discipleship looks like. It's not complicated. Paul gave similar instructions to Titus as well. Titus 1:5 says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." We're called to raise up other men and plant churches, to send out missionaries, to send out evangelists. We're called to create teachers and reproduce those as well. Titus and Timothy were two New Testament pastors that were discipled by Paul. Like I said, they were spiritual children, and he was reproducing himself in them so that they could go and do it again. And the truth is, all the apostles were doing it, and they did a pretty good job, as evidenced by the fact that we're still around today. Amen. And serving in the church, Paul warns them, is not going to be easy. He says, listen, go ahead and teach other men what you've heard to me so that they can teach others, but then share in suffering. You know, everybody wants the good part of Christianity. Nobody wants to understand that there is some stuff that may not be as pleasant that comes along with it. Sometimes it serving God means you're going to struggle. You're going to suffer. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be left or lost. God will see you through it. You'll make it out the other side, because God will never leave you nor forsake you, but it doesn't mean you might not endure some difficult times. Ministry can be hard. You know, it's funny. In the case of Timothy, many people, you know, look at pastors and think, oh, they must have the easiest job ever. I mean, they only have to work two hours a week, right? Sunday mornings. Being a pastor has got to be the easiest job of all. The truth is that ministry can be hard no matter where you're serving at. But we're to endure it, right? Listen, we have to suffer as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That means sometimes being down in the trenches. That sometimes means, like I said, Bible in one hand, plunger in the other. And then he says, and notice here that we're to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. We're in the Lord's army. And then he says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. How many of you know that if you're in the army, you don't just get to do whatever you want? You are beholden to what they want you to do. You're enlisted. When you're enlisted in the military, your priority is what the military wants you to do. Amen? And the same should be true of us in the army of God. Our priority to be to our commander, the head, Jesus Christ. Amen. What he wants is what we want. If it's not, realign your thinking so that what he wants is what you want. Amen. And sometimes it'll be tough, but we're to endure it. And the truth is, the rewards are great, specifically spiritually. And there are also those who depend on us. A soldier is only worried about obeying and serving his commander, not concerned with worldly things. They have a one-track mind. At least a good soldier does, amen? And then the same thing goes for athletes. He says an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. In this time, when you start talking about the Olympians and the athletes that trained in Rome, they actually separated themselves from everyone and everything and dedicated themselves to 10 months of rigorous training. Nothing else mattered. I think I read once that if they didn't do it this way, they could actually be killed. That was punishable by death by not committing fully. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. Let's have the same attitude in us when it comes to serving God, amen? And when it comes to what God has called us to do. And like I said, our culture as a church is to support you into what God wants you to do. We're going to support you. One of the things you can ask yourself now, what is it that God wants you to do? And if you have a plan or if God has put something in your heart, come talk to me about it. Let's see what we can do to get it in motion. I can't do everything. I can't direct everything. I can't tell you everything what you're supposed to do, but I can support you in what God has called you to do. Amen? So if God has something for you, let's figure it out. Let's do it. Amen? And everything we can do as a church to support you, from people to finances, we will. Certainly with prayer and encouragement. And then finally, we'll end here with Jesus as our example in this. In Matthew 10:1, it says, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction." Jesus is that perfect example of how we ought to be behaving as a church. First, he evangelized all of his disciples, right? He went to them and said, "Come, follow me." They traveled with him and they learned from him for the 3 years that he walked with them. So he was equipping them and discipling them along the way. This means that they spent time together. How many know that discipleship and equipping requires spending time with one another? Our time together shouldn't only be on a Sunday morning. You're missing out if that's all it is. Our time together shouldn't just be official church functions. As a family, we should be encouraging and walking with one another all the time. Amen? After that, notice after he walked with them, after he spent time with them, after he equipped them, he sent them out. This is right here, when he sends the apostles out. He gave them authority when he empowered them to go out into the world. And this is when he sent the 12. Later, he sends a much larger group of disciples to do the same thing. But that was his methodology. He walked with them, he equipped them, he trained them, and then he empowered them to go out. And he gave them authority. He empowered them over the unclean spirits so he could cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction. Basically, he gave them authority, the same authority that we have today, to go out and fulfill their ministry. And we follow in Jesus' example. Even though we are not many, there are those in this room that will be preachers and teachers. There are some that are going through the process to learn how to do that. And it may be that God has a calling for you to maybe not only preach here, but to plant a church or to go out and be a missionary, to be an evangelist. We're going to have opportunities with evangelism for all of us to learn and be equipped and be better at it coming up not too long from now. We got some neat stuff in the works for the youth and getting into high schools that I'm excited about, that hopefully as our youth grows, we'll be able to make an impact there. I'm going to be talking to Overland Missions to come out at some point to share with us, which will give opportunities for you to go over and do short-term missions. And they have a lot of work in Africa right now, and in South America, they're doing a lot of work. And then as a church, our next outreach should be the Fall Festival with Marana. We did it last year, but this time there's an organization in town that's going to come together probably on the Friday before and train us how to be more effective as we evangelize to the lost. And then they're going to go out there and do it with us and show us how to be more effective in that area. So we're going to have opportunities to step out into what God has called us to do. And as we learn, for all of us, we all are to do the work of an evangelist. Amen. So right now, you're in training. Even Sunday morning is about being trained and equipped and learning the Word of God so you can go out. And it might be that you serve here in this church for a while, or maybe that's what God has called you to do for long term, or maybe that God has a plan for you to do something different. To go out and plant a church, to go out and start a Bible study, to go out and have some sort of outreach ministry. But we want to equip you and empower you to do that. And then the cycle continues. Hopefully one day when your ministry gets huge and you're reaching thousands of people that you are discipling and raising up others to go out and do the same, amen? Because that is our goal, is to work alongside Jesus as he builds his church and grows his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads.